Well, I was gone for 10 days, and I guess you could say it was a bit of testing for me in certain ways. But I was visiting my mother, and I had an enjoyable time for the most part while I was there, and we did some work and had some enjoyment as well. Also was able to study a little bit, and hopefully I can bring forth some of that in some future messages. But today I wanted to talk to you about some of the news that I found after coming home, and actually while I was coming home, because I picked up a magazine. I'll talk about that at the I picked up a magazine at the airport, and what I found in it was pretty interesting. But what is our focus? And I want to keep that in mind, because we need to keep certain priorities in mind and keep our focus, our main focus in mind. But some of the news, of course, we've already heard a little bit about the global warming, and even Al Gore has been involved with that, putting together a documentary of sorts. I remember a graph that looked like a stock that maybe wasn't doing so good for a while, but then all of a sudden it took off. Well, that's the temperature that we see on the Earth, and it has risen substantially in the last 100 years. They talk about, even a single degree or two can cause some difficulties. I was reading through an article that was presented by World News and Prophecy, their May 2007 issue, and it talks about Australia, about how they're having a drought right now, a pretty severe one, so severe that the Prime Minister, John Howard, described the situation as an unprecedentedly dangerous situation. And I have here a picture of a cattleman with his cattle around him laying down dead. The drought is killing. And they are actually shipping in water at the tune of $10,000 a day into certain areas just so that they can survive. There is other news that has been brought out. Of course, we know that Zechariah talks about those in the kingdom, that if you don't come up to the Feast of Tabernacles, you will receive no rain. So when we see areas of drought, I think it automatically comes up that, is God punishing them? I mean, rather, is Yahweh punishing them? I have to admit, some of the things that I've been reading through have that Gimel Dalet in there. Have to read past it and have to speak past it as well. But we also hear of the bird flu, and I just was looking at something recently that showed the migration of this bird flu around the world. And also, they're talking about how it's mutating, so there's different forms there of it. But there's also something else I found when I came back that I really hadn't... I'd heard a little bit about it, but in Good News magazine, they have this written: America and Europe hit by loss of bees. It says hundreds of millions of honeybees have vanished in 22 U.S. states, leaving keepers financially crippled and jeopardizing $16 billion worth of crops that needed insects for pollinization. The disappearance is attributed to colony collapse disorder, CCD, which causes swarms of bees to abandon their hives and die. A later update, appearing in the February 27th, 2007 International Herald Tribune, expanded the figure to 24 American states, nearly half the country. And America is not alone. Beekeepers in Poland, Greece, Croatia, Switzerland, Italy, and Portugal have also reported heavy losses. And the list keeps growing. This is sobering news affecting agricultural production. According to Zach Browning, Vice President of the American Beekeeping Federation, every third bite we consume in our diet, basically a third of the food, is dependent on a honeybee to pollinate that food. Bees do far more for us human beings than just produce honey. And the sources they give here for this information is the Times, the Daily Telegraph, and the International Herald Tribune. Pretty interesting. Of course, we know that there's famine already occurring in the world. What would happen if a third of the food was to disappear? Because that's basically what they're saying will happen if the bees disappear. Now, the magazine I picked up at the airport before I headed home was The Economist. This is the May 12th through 18th of 2007 issue, and it has Tony Blair on the front there. He's now, I guess, in line to resign. He's already made that announcement. Now, this magazine gives a lot of short articles, and I think that's one reason I picked it up, is because of my short attention span. I like short articles to read. But it comes to a science and technology section, which I didn't know it had. But by the time I got there, I mean, I read a number of things, but this one really struck me as being news I wasn't aware of. It's the title is Look Down, Look Up, and Look Out. And it gives a picture of the Earth with a magnetic framework of the magnetosphere, they call it, and the solar winds that would be hitting us if it wasn't for that. But it says, the weather in space is controlled by events at the center of the Earth. A pity, then, that the magnetic field generated there may be about to go into reverse. It says, the Earth's magnetic field reaches out into space to direct the flow of the solar wind around the planet, forming a structure called the magnetosphere. When the wind hits this field, it creates a shock wave known as the bow shock. Most of the protons and electrons of the wind go around the shock wave, and lots of dangerous radiation from the sun is thus diverted away from the Earth. There is, however, a growing body of evidence that the Earth's magnetic field is about to disappear, at least for a while. The geological record shows that it flips from time to time, with the South Pole becoming the North and vice versa. And it goes on here to say that one of the things that indicates is that the strength of the field has been falling by 5% a century recently. Somehow they have a way of determining that. Just when the magnetic field will flip is impossible to predict from what is known at the moment. The best guess is that there are still several centuries to go, nor is it clear how long its protective shield will be down. So that's good news, I think. It'll happen later, much later. Or will it? We find, you know, the scripture talks about the sun scorching the earth. When tribulation comes, it talks about men blaspheming the name of Yahweh because the heat is so severe. There are items. Isaiah 24, you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read through a Bible I picked up while I was at Mom's. It's only a dollar at the dollar store over there, but it's interestingly enough, it's a children's Bible, but it's a pretty good children's Bible. It speaks, I mean, the translation is pretty good. It's called the ICB for short. In Isaiah 24, it says, look, Yahweh will destroy the earth and leave it empty. He will ruin the surface of the land and scatter its people. At that time, the same thing will happen to everyone, to common people and priests, to slaves and masters, to women slaves and their women masters, to buyers and sellers, to those who borrow and to those who lend, and to bankers and to those who owe the bank. The earth will be completely empty. The wealth will all be taken. This will happen because Yahweh commanded it. The earth will dry up and die. The world will grow weak and die. The great leaders of this land will become weak. Verse 5. The people of the earth have ruined it. They do not follow Yahweh's teachings. They do not obey Yahweh's laws. They break their agreement with Yahweh that was to last forever. A curse will destroy the earth, and the people of the world are guilty. So they will be burned up. Only a few will be left. It's pretty serious. This is prophecy yet to happen. And you read down, and it talks about the cities being destroyed. So it seems like not all of the earth will be destroyed, but the way it currently is certainly will, and it won't ever be like it is now again. It will be better. Yahweh will make things better. And it talks about purifying the earth and the things melting in fervent heat. But we know that things are going to be done up better later. Then Isaiah 24, and starting in verse 19, it says, "The earth will be broken up. The earth will split open. The earth will shake violently. The earth will stumble around like a man who is drunk. It shall shake like a hut in a storm." The version that I use reads a little different on that. But in thinking about that, what happens if the magnetic field disappears for a time or changes if there's a switch? Could that cause what is certainly being presented here? It says in verse 20 of Isaiah 24, "The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack, for its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall, never to rise again." Not the way it was, the way it is now. I was kidding with Carrie, my wife, and saying, I'd maybe start out with a song, "The World As We Know It Is." How's that song go? Yeah. "Oh, it's the end of the world as we know it." I promised I wouldn't do that. So, but there's a lot of serious things that are mentioned in Scripture. So with all of this said, with these things predicted to happen, as we see what's happening in the world and to the world today, what should be our main focus? This is really what I want to talk to you today about. If you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. I might have a short attention span, but I can sure give a long opening. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." So we're given information here that we're not to lean on our own understanding, that we're to acknowledge Yahweh, we're to think about Him in our daily life, in what we do, in what we say, in what we think. We are to keep Him in mind so that we'll make the right decisions. We need to keep His Word in mind so that we'll have the right understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Now, we're told in Matthew 6, going over to Matthew 6, verse 33, one of Yahshua's first teachings was that we are to seek the coming kingdom. And we know that there is a coming kingdom that will be established. It says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." So it's the righteousness as well, the goodness, the pureness, those things are in Scripture that we're to do, because they're things to live by that are right and true. It says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, Matthew 6 and verse 27 talks about how, we worry about clothing sometimes. It says in verse 27, starting there, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toll, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if Elohim so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you little faith?" So we have to keep in mind Yahweh's word. We have to keep our focus on Him and do what He tells us to do and walk in the steps of the Messiah, because He followed His Father's instructions as well. And there are benefits in seeking knowledge and wisdom and understanding and of Yahweh's will for us. Going back to Proverbs, this is really replete with benefits. Salesmen are taught, teach the benefits of the item or the product that, a customer may be interested in. Show the benefits. Show them how good it will be for them if they have it. Well, wisdom is good to have. And our Father's instructions is good to have. Even our own father and our own mother's instructions in verse 8 of Proverbs 1, it says. But verse 9 it says, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. I mean, we're not to clothe ourselves in gold and silver and these things. We're to be humble and also modest. But in verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, you will discern the fear of Yahweh and discover the knowledge of Elohim. For Yahweh gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. You know, we're to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. And we gain knowledge, we gain understanding, we gain wisdom, especially when we implement those things into our lives. And that's most important. When he says, come to the feast, he says, come to the feast. There's no, you can't look at it any other way. And so we should be attending the feast. We should be doing things like keeping the Sabbath and observing that and not eating unclean foods and doing these other things that are wrong. But we should be doing those things which are right. Verse 7 of chapter 2 of Proverbs. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So we're not to lie to one another. We're not to be deceitful to one another. We're to be kind and loving towards one another. We are to embrace one another with a deep love that Yahweh has for us. Continuing, it says, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his righteous ones. And then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil. Going over to Proverbs 3 and verse 2. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What will add length of days and years of life and peace? It says in verse 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Yahweh wants obedience from the heart. He wants us to live in the Spirit and in truth. It says in verse 7 of Proverbs 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. These are benefits that we can have if we live this way of life. Verse 18, speaking of wisdom, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. Skipping down to 22, and they will be life to your soul and to your being and adornment to you, and then you will walk in your way securely. You won't have to worry about things. And your foot will not stumble, because you'll be knowing how to walk. Be walking in Yahweh's footsteps, in Yahshua's footsteps, who himself followed Yahweh. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. What's the opposite for those that do wickedness? They don't sleep. Proverbs 4, hear, O sons, the instructions of a father. Who's the father of us all? Scripture says Yahweh is. It says, and give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Verse 6 of Proverbs 4, do not forsake her. Speaking of, let's just actually go through this whole part here, because it talks about his commandments and the teachings of the Father. For I give you sound teaching, in verse 2, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Skipping down to verse 8, prize her, and she will exalt you. 10, hear, my son, and accept my sayings, for the years of your life will be many. Verse 13, take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. 22, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Proverbs 6 and verse 22, when you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. And of course, Yahweh's Spirit brings to mind His Word, Yahweh's Word. Things that Yahshua says and instructs us. It's all for our benefit, and there are many benefits, namely eternal life, to be written in the book of life. Isn't that what we want? And now there are things that are happening in the world, but we need to keep our main focus. We need to keep our eye on the Savior who we go through to the Father. Ecclesiastes, just after Proverbs, at the end of Ecclesiastes, says in verse 13 of chapter 12, the conclusion then when all has been heard, is fear Yahweh and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. Of course, we have to have faith in the Master, Yahshua. We have to have both. As Revelation 14:12 and other areas talk about. Verse 14, for Elohim will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. So what we sow is what we'll reap. Nothing will escape. And we can have goals of building a house, building a business and family, but our main focus is not on these things. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is admonition for us. Really goes on and continues to tell us, you know, where are our priorities? Where do we invest our time and our energies? Where do we invest our money? Is it for ourselves? Is it for selfish things? Or is it to promote Yahweh's word? Is it to give glory to Him? Is it to tell others of the coming kingdom of Yahweh? And is it to tell of the Messiah, in whose name is salvation, through Yahshua the Messiah? Now, we all have, at different times, things on our mind. I mean, when I was away, my mind was on a lot of what we were working on with my mother and some other things there, but I still found time to get a Bible, to read, to take a subject matter that I was looking into, because we have a sabbatical year coming up. And I wanted to search and find out whether or not there was archaeological evidence for the dates that we proclaim as being sabbaticals. Well, Scripture says, seek and you shall find. And I found. And so I want to present that later, but it's going to take a little more time to put it all together in a presentable way. But we have a sabbatical coming up next year, and it's something that we need to be concerned about because of, we're told this is something you shall do. You shall let the land lie fallow. You shall not plow the field in that year. That's hard for farmers out here to conceptually think about. But I'll talk more about that later, as I'm sure others will. know, Paul speaks to the Corinthians about seeking gifts. What kind of gifts? He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about love, an emphasis on teaching things that make sense and that people can understand, telling the truth. And he talks about building us up. He talks about building the assembly up. And something that we need to keep in mind. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 and verse 5 states, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim, to Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah." What happens if we live this way? Romans 8 and verse 6. I think we already saw one of the benefits is life. Romans 8 and verse 6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." In many ways we have to give up our own lives. We have to give up our own pursuits and hobbies and things that we would desire to do if we didn't know about Yahweh, if we didn't know about doing those things that will help others understand about these things that we know of. We know that a coming kingdom is going to be established. We know that there is a better world coming. And we know that this one is going to pass away. And we know that there are earth pains and different things that are going to happen before Messiah returns. And we can talk a little bit about that. But what is to be our main focus? Let's turn back to, turn forward to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. When it gets right down to it, what is our main focus? "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work." Is there work to do? "According to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers." You know, the wrong ways of living, we don't want that. We want the right ways of living. We want to be living in the Spirit and walking on higher ground. "For we were purchased with blood." Verse 19. "But with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Messiah. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. You, through him, are believers in Elohim, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in Yahweh." Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." We have to go through Yahshua to be able to go before Yahweh's throne. And it's emphasized also in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, which says, "Fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the stake, the torture stake, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." you know, talks about a falling away that's going to happen. And I think in part that is happening and has happened. And it's going to happen even more, as we'll take a look at here shortly. But in John 4, we really need to be focusing on Yahweh through Yahshua. We really need to be grounded in His Word, because some things are coming that will pull us away if we weren't really grounded. Because it talks about things that can even fool the elect, which we want to strive to be, in which if we are grounded in Yahweh's Word and continue to walk with Messiah and Yahweh, there's much promised. John 4 and verse 23 says, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers..." We read this earlier, didn't we? I think it's fitting to read again in the chapter reading today. This was what was reading. But it says, "An hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." We need to walk on higher ground. We also need to be observant to Yahweh's instructions. They're written down. This is a manual to our life. You can't neglect it. Because if you do, it is death. That's what is being said. We want life, not death. We want the blessings, not the cursings. We want the benefits, not the short end of the stick, which many will find themselves holding if they do not step up and stand to be counted. And we need to pray that we will stand worthy to be before Messiah when He returns. We need to be upright in heart. We need to be doing those things that are pleasing to Him. And you know, if we're not keeping the Sabbath properly, if we're not going to the feasts, if we're not loving our brethren, if we're not attending and fellowshipping, I mean, what are we doing? We need to be doing these things. And I know there are some out there that may hear this message that aren't doing that, and they need to hear this. These DVDs and CDs are to be passed around. They're to be given to others. And we hope that they will reach out. And those messages on the Internet, I mean, these messages are archived for those that would be searching for truth and be looking for the right path. But Yahweh warns that if you're given this information and you don't act on it, you'll suffer the consequences. So we have to take our calling seriously and make it sure by doing what is right, and not just thinking, well, things will be okay, you know, things will work out. I don't really have any worries. I got a nice house, car, you know, job, whatever. All that's going to pass. And there's something better coming. Many things better that are coming. Do we see the signs of the times and what is happening in the world and to the world? Do we seek wisdom and understanding? Do we seek obedience to the commandments of Yahweh? Do we seek to store a treasure in heaven rather than on earth? And do we have our main focus in focus? Proverbs 3, and starting there in verse 6. Well, I went away for a few days, and the change of pace was nice, but I am sure glad to be back, because I was around others that are not worshiping Yahweh as they should be, and they are not calling on His name, and they have a form of righteousness but deny its power. And they're not taking the time out to study the Word. And a number of these things that are happening in the world, they probably just, you know, don't think much of them. But I think we may be like the Titanic that is just now seeing the tip of the iceberg. What's coming is massive. And I think we all need to be really taking it to heart. That we really need to be prepared for what's coming. We need to do what we need to do right now. And in preparing for the future, I mean, that's what we do. We prepare now so that we can get through difficult times as well as good times, keeping the focus in mind so that we can attain it. There was a swimmer I had heard of that was swimming a long channel of water, and I guess it got foggy and the person really couldn't see the destination, but they were really close to the shore and they gave up because they couldn't see it. I think we see a vision of the coming kingdom, and I think that will give us the strength to continue on whether we think we can make it or not. Because Yahweh promises that we will not be tempted or, you know, put to the point where we can't bear it. And so we have that assurance. Matthew 3 and, Proverbs 3 and verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. This is the message. Let's go over to Matthew. Speaking of Matthew, let's go over to Matthew 24. I've just been thinking a little bit about some of these things that we're starting to see. You know, with the some of these things, I think, you know, the start of Jacob's trouble and, you know, seeing that tip of the iceberg may be very well on its way. But in Matthew 24, the disciples asked Joshua, you know, what are going to be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? And starting there in verse 4, it says, and Joshua answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Well, if you stay secure in Yahweh's word and you study it and you read it and you know it, then it's going to be hard for someone to take you away. Verse 5, it says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will mislead many. Now, I had at times thought that maybe this might be those using Yahshua's name. That could come about as well. But, you know, with verses 11 and 24, it's really, I think, talking about false messiahs, those that are actually claiming to be Messiah. And we have a few of those today. There's one group that has millions of followers. That gentleman claims to be the Messiah. Doesn't even use the right name, but there's another, just recently on the news, he's got a big following as well, going down to Florida, calls himself Jesus, and real flagrant about how he's living. He's got a diamond-studded Rolex and, you know, has women hanging on him, and he's drinking rum and smoking a cigarette or cigar when he's talking to the individual that's interviewing him. What a joke. Would we be fooled by that? No. But there are some that are coming that are going to be able to do miracles. Or at least they will look like miracles. It says, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. In verse 9 it says, keeping those things of former in mind, it says, then they will deliver you to affliction or tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Now thinking of some of the things that are happening. There's Islamic extremists, wars, rumors of wars. They're blowing themselves up. You can't fight an enemy like that. You know, and Scripture talks about history of Esau and Edom and indiscriminate arrows that they shoot. I'm wondering if some of that isn't tying into what we're seeing today. But we have these wars and kingdoms or nations against nations. And of course, certain Christians are standing up and saying, hey, you know, this is not right, so on and so forth. And it's interesting that, our towers got hit hard and were destroyed here in New York by these terrorists. And there wasn't really an outcry in the Islamic communities. Maybe some, but the extremists certainly not. They were jumping for joy. There were other things, soldiers getting killed, groups of soldiers, no real outcry. But if a gentleman over in Denmark draws a little cartoon about Muhammad and publishes it, outcry. Muslims around the world start burning things up and cry for justice. Of course, in their Sharia law, anything against their prophet Muhammad, that they call a prophet, if you degrade or do something to offend them, then it's really the death sentence. And there is no forgiveness, according to Sharia law, as I understand it. That person in Denmark went into hiding, I believe, because he could have begged for his life, and they would have, the extremists could have gotten a hold of him, they would have killed him. Because they believe, according to their Quran, that is following it word for word. And I've seen some of those things that they point to, and I think they have a point. But we see famines. Take the bees away, we're going to have less food, I think more famines. We have, it talks about earthquakes, famines and earthquakes. Well, there have been some more earthquakes, but what happens if this magnetic field disappears for time or shifts? Is that going to cause any problem? I don't know. But it talks about these things happening, and I think we're starting to see some of these things. Now, the interesting thing is, as these get more intense, as we see these things taking place and people start getting upset, stressed, will we be becoming more intense with our proclaiming Yahweh's word? Will we be talking more openly with people and saying, hey, do you know why some of these things are happening? The scripture talks about punishment. It talks about a tribulation coming. It talks about the day of Yahweh. It talks about you shall reap what you sow. It talks about obeying Yahweh, and if you don't, that there is punishment. Now, if people are real stressed about the things that are happening in the world, are they going to be upset to hear that? I don't think they'll want to be bothered with it. They have other things to worry about. But it seems like after these things really start happening in intensity, then it says, then they'll deliver us up, and we'll be hated by all nations. You know, we don't want to upset the extremist Muslims. They'll burn us down. You know, stop your message of this Yahshua. They don't like that. I don't know how it's all going to come about, but we're told a little bit here about what will be taking place. And these beginning things will take place, and then, you know, we'll be hated as well. And I think many already hate us because of the message that we teach. And certain individuals out there would just as soon as all go away. But Yahweh says that He provides an open door, and the gates of Hades can't overcome it. So Yahweh's word is going to go forth. But even with all of this, I mean, what is our main focus? May we forevermore give glory and honor to Yahweh through Yahshua, following in his footsteps. Hallelujah. May it be so.